Hey everyone, welcome back. It's episode 7 of your favorite St. Louis podcast, the 5-Minute Major Podcast with Mike and Josh. Today, we're discussing lots of hot topics around the league, including the whole Swayman v. Boston fiasco, some preseason injuries and how it has an effect on the regular season, the Global Series over there in Prague, and then we're going to predict and break down just the first 2 days of NHL games because there's so many, and we might have a sneaky midweek podcast coming in with more information. Josh, how you doing, my friend?
Doing great. Glad to be here, you know, another week. And it's that time of year, hockey's finally back. You know, enough about preseason hockey. Is this guy signing? We are full-fledged into the season and ready to talk actual games, Blues takes, everything. So let's get rolling. Hot topics. Biggest one that we talked about. Swayman finally gets it done, signing an 8-year, $8.25 million average. Thank God. We were losing our minds because I did not know if this was actually going to get done. For a while there, I was like, maybe they're trading them. But Mike, what's your feeling on this?
Dude, we had ups and downs of how we felt about it. I know we were like, oh, the Boston management screwed up. They traded Ullmark too early. And then it was like, why wouldn't Swayman just accept an 8-year deal with $7.5 million or more dollars? I don't know. I think it was drawn out just based on money itself. I don't think anybody had any really bad blood towards each other. I think maybe Swayman felt underappreciated, but other than that, like, it's business and he figured it out now. You know, I think they quote unquote lowballed what he wanted at 7.8 average, and he was like, I kind of want like 9.5, and then they were like, fuck you. So I'm glad it got done. They needed a goalie. They have like technically the best set defense in the league when you look at them on paper. So even if they had Korpisalo, they probably would have made the playoffs, but they wouldn't have made it far. Now they have Swayman, who's proven to do well in the playoffs after last year, and this is just their step into being contenders again up there in Boston, you know, the people we hate. But it's good. It's good for goalies' contracts overall. The cap hit's going to get raised. People are going to make more money. That's all good stuff, right? So,
yeah. What do you think? I mean, it's one of those things. First off, we needed this contract to get done because I think going forward for the Four Nations coming up, Swayman, I think, could be that guy for USA. So, we need him playing. We need him getting better. We need him growing. We need him developing. That's take number one. Number two, I think this got blown out of proportion, mainly because Cam Neely had to open his fucking mouth. Cam Neely had some bold comments where he's like, well, I got 64 million reasons why I think he should be playing. Okay. Not a professional way to do it. And maybe because it's the media markets of Boston, so that stuff flies a little bit more. I think we're more St. Louis, Doug Armstrong mentality. That stuff is kept behind closed doors. We don't do that kind of commenting here. And I think I'll take the latter and I'll take Doug over Cam Neely doing this. I think it's crap. But glad it's done. Finally, it's not the topic that everyone each week is going, is he signed? Is he not signed? Think it'll bite him in the ass, though. He did not have any preseason to get warmed up. So we'll be interesting to see. Does Korpisalo start out as the starter for a first one or two games until Swayman can get his legs under him, just because it will be a little rough start. But goalies seem to be able to jump to that next level relatively easy. So, glad to see it's done. Time to move on. Boston's good still. We hate to see it, but I love Swayman. Fantastic. So, good for him. Good to reset the market. Let's go.
Yeah, I think, like you said, with the Nations thing coming up, USA really needed a goalie, honestly. I mean, well, Maybe they didn't. They have Hellebuck, right?
You have Hellebuck, but is Hellebuck going to have much in the tank?
Dude, yes, and that's kind of what we're saying with Swayman. Like, at least he has an okay enough backup. Like, I still don't know who the Jets' backup is, so I don't know. Hellebuck is going to need Swayman, and, you know, like, you want your best goalies out there, and he's one of the best American goalies in the league, so why not, you know? So, yeah, it's good for him. Good old Alaska boy. Anchorage, pretty cool story with him. And yeah, it's good for Boston. It's good for goalies. Let's just move on now and get to hockey.
So, yeah.
We'll stay in the preseason for a little bit. We wanted to mention some of the injuries that happened and how it's been having this crazy effect on some teams that we thought, you know, might come out of the gate hot, or at least improve, and then shit, their best player or a new player they just picked up has a setback, and now you have to wait, and that's a big downer, you know. We're going to start with Patrick Laine. I hate it for him too. He's been in and out of these teams for a while. It feels like he's never fully healthy for the past like 5 seasons. He signs in Montreal. He's happy to be there. He comes out. He has a nasty knee-on-knee collision. He's lucky that it's not like torn or anything crazy. Yeah. But no surgery. He's just out for 2 to 3 months. Like, and for the Habs, that sucks. You know, he was going to be probably your top goal scorer, and now you have to rely on your other younger forwards to step up and compete, which we'll see. That one really, really does suck. On to Macklin Celebrini. I saw the news that he had this awkward collision and he was out with, I think it was an upper body injury.
Yeah, you know. It's one of those that, you know, it was just like, you know, the NHL, we don't give you a real great in-depth. It's upper body, lower body. What is? That's all we got. You just,
yeah.
But just awkward play. It was just weird. Yeah. Shouldn't have really been hurt, but I mean, skating and weird little kink and all of a sudden you're hurt in your day to day.
Yeah. He literally got like twisted a little bit and he fell and went into the boards, and they say he has a lower body injury and is considered day to day and might not be ready for the first game of the year, which is insane.
Insane.
But we'll probably never know the truth of what the actual injury is. I think maybe he just twisted something, you know, and that can happen at any stage of any sport, especially hockey. Yeah. So hopefully he comes back soon. The Sharks need him. You know, you don't want your number one overall pick to get hurt instantly and then have his career even in jeopardy or something like that. Crazy, which we just hope it's not that bad, right? But luckily it's only day to day, so we'll see. Artemi Panarin. Now, this one is even weirder to me. I had no idea he was hurt. He all of a sudden he's day to day with chances of missing the season opener. And I'm thinking, what the hell happened to Panarin? Did he tweak something too? Is he leg kicking Sellian too high and he hyperextended? Like, what the hell happened to Panarin? The only thing I know is he's day to day and he might miss the season opener for the Rangers. And that's it. I haven't seen any news on this,
and which is surprising for that kind of a media market that things wouldn't be out there a little bit more. But hey, it could be a lingering issue that he had from training camp that flared up, or a lingering issue from last year.
But true,
that hurts the NHL. You need the bread man to be contributing and putting up great points for this season. So he'll still be top 10 in points. Knowing him, he could miss a month and still be up there.
Yeah, he'll still come back. Hopefully. In time for the season opener, and he'll just be lighting it up as he always is, freak of nature. And then, of course, we mentioned before, I'm pretty sure Drew Doughty had a fractured ankle, just absolutely wicked smash into the boards, trying to play solid defense as he always does, and that fucked him up too. And now he's out for a substantial amount of time for the Kings, and that's just a huge blow for them. And basically, what we're trying to say with all this is like the preseason shouldn't have this many injuries come out of it. Like, of course they're trying to play full speed and feel each other out and get healthy and conditioned for the regular season. It just seems like the preseason's been going on for like 2 weeks. Like, why?
Yeah.
Let's just play like 3 games a team, boom, get it over with, have them like 2-3 days off before the regular season, and then get right back into playing real meaningful hockey. I know like Bettman and the owners have talked about possibly decreasing the amount of games, which is something we think is good, but they've also talked about adding 2 more regular season games on top of that, which is really weird. So I don't really understand it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to revolve around. So preseason was always about getting in shape. Guys are in shape. They're all training off season. So then you look at the Blues, for example. The Blues played almost the most different number of players in a preseason this year. It was like 54, 56 different players played wearing the jersey. So people are putting AHL teams essentially out there this year with guys you want to see. My take is decrease the actual preseason for some of these actual NHL caliber players, or add in just a development series where it's a week of just development games within your division. And it's just your prospects or whatever players that are not mainstays on your roster. And then you do two separate things. Or it's like a G League essentially to the NHL. I think the issue is we saw some dirty hits by some guys that weren't going to make rosters. We saw freak injuries. We saw this a couple years ago with Sundqvist got hurt in preseason. Like, there's a lot of things here that owners are finally going to put their foot down before long, because they're going to start losing money on franchise players. So you're sorry to see it in the NFL. Some quarterbacks don't even play a single snap in preseason. It's going to get here in preseason hockey where you're going to see their superstars aren't going to touch the ice.
You know, McDavid was one who wasn't going to touch the ice, but then he requested to be out there for like two or three games. So, like, give them the option. If your superstars don't want to play, don't fucking play them. Like, it's really up to them to be ready anyway, you know? So if they don't want to play, don't fucking play them. McDavid can go out for one game and dipsy doodle around an AHL team if he wants to, but what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Bettman and the owners in that decision to decrease the preseason games. It's probably a best idea. Maybe, I mean, adding two more regular season games is fine, I guess. It moves the season up, which is makes the fans happy. So, and it's a chance to get more points, break more franchise records. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. Moving on, it's unrelated, but it's definitely another point of the league that we need to make, is that the NHL and the NHLPA is going to discuss new cap in 2026, because I believe their agreement is ending in 2025-26, so they gotta, you know, come up with a new one. Bettman, he said the cap should go up, like actually kind of a substantial amount, like maybe like an entire player's salary amount,
which is huge, which would be huge.
And it's not like $1 million. It's like Roberg $4.5 million type of increase. He said, you know, take that lightly at this point in time, but it is in the works, which is huge for these owners and like small market teams like us, who can actually go out there and pay for somebody and get better instead of having to really kind of work around the cap. And if we're not in a no state tax state, it's harder and stuff like that. So, but it also gives more leverage to those teams too, like Tampa and Florida and Nashville. They can spend even more fucking money. But we'll see. I like it. I love it. Honestly, hockey needs more money flowing around for the superstars. And we don't want to strike or lock out. So yeah, that would be devastating.
That's the thing. I think a lot of this is going to come down to the players that are superstars want international play back. So I think that'll be a hot topic in this these meetings, because Crosby's talked about it. These younger players have talked about it. Like, guys want to play in the Olympics. Guys love these four nations tournaments. I mean, we did that a couple years back where it was like the under 23 team for North America. Like, there's plenty of players that can play in these games. And yes, they all want to win a Stanley Cup, but they all want to represent their country. Also, I really want to have a USA one, because I'm really feeling like USA can stick it to Canada with these young guys. So that'll be another thing that I'm looking forward to. But I don't see a strike. I think they'll get this deal done. Hockey is flourishing. I also am very intrigued to see talks of another expansion team. I would not be surprised. So I think another expansion team or two expansion teams within the next 4 years for sure.
Wow, that would be a huge move by the NHL.
Houston.
Yeah, you mentioned the Houston Outlaws instead of the Utah Outlaws, and I like it even better.
Oh, yeah.
But then I don't know about after that. Like, is he really going to go for Atlanta again? Is he going to go for another, you know, you never know, right?
We'll Quebec. See.
Quebec would be awesome.
Bring back the Nordiques.
It would be so great. Okay, moving on. We got a couple more things for you. Jack Campbell. I didn't even remember that he was on Detroit, but Jack Campbell, the goalie for the Detroit Red Wings, has entered the player's assistant program. This is his second time, I believe.
I think it is his second time through, yeah.
Yeah, so wish the best for him. You know, it's important to deal with health reasons, physical or mental, so hopefully he, or addiction problems, you know, you never know. So hopefully he can get out of there healthier and can come back and play in the NHL. I think he was kind of underappreciated as a player as well. So yeah,
he's had a rough ride of it.
Yeah, we'll hope for Campbell to get better soon. Let's see. Tyson Barrie, we mentioned a PTO a couple episodes ago. He has officially signed his one-year deal in Calgary, and that's huge for them. They really need anything they can get, in my opinion.
So
that's, yes, a man that can go out there and play some offense and play a little bit of defense too. So good for them. Another kind of sneaky good deal, in my opinion, for Columbus. They just signed a one-year deal for Kevin LeBanc. I think he had a great past couple seasons. I'm excited for him.
He was on a PTO with the Devils.
Yes.
Was offered a contract but had him going to the minors. He scored 3 goals in preseason, which, like, I get it. You're playing against college and junior players. Cool. Just scored 3 goals. But had a hell of a camp. Said no. Jumped over to Columbus, where I think he'll be a contributing factor on that team.
Just of course.
One. Yeah.
Just another team that needs anything they can get. And especially after losing a guy like Texier and then, of course, Johnny, like, you need goal scoring and passing. Yep. So he can fill that void. I think he's a 20-goal scorer. Like, pretty sure he's already done that before. He can do it again easily in Columbus. Yep. So. Good for him. Happy for Columbus. And then this is kind of like a hypothetical thing. We mentioned Swayman, so the money's going to be high for these goalies that are actual superstars. And Igor Shesterkin needs an extension soon. And New York's going to have to fork out some money for this dude. I'm pretty sure the base number is at $10 million a year. And I think he could get up to 12. If New York really is willing to throw money at this guy, I think he might get like a massive 6 to 8 year, $12 million a year contract, which is fucking bonkers for a goalie.
Too much money. Like,
is it though? He's a superstar.
He's a stud, but like, I mean, this is going to blow up the market.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I think I looked at Swayman as almost resetting the market a little bit.
Yeah.
With that 8.25, I get Shesterkin's probably done it a little bit longer here and is proven. But I mean, I feel like the 9.5 to 10 range is where it should be. But I don't know. Also, like, what cap hell situation does this put the Rangers in? Like, something's got to go at that point, and you're going to have to move some players that you probably don't want. But I get if without a goalie, you're kind of screwed. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. This is going to be a very interesting next couple months. And I don't know if they'll get a deal done in season. Didn't he say he doesn't want to talk deal once the season starts? So, I mean, this may be the talk of next offseason or trade deadline talk if he's like, screw you, I'm not coming back.
I think he wants to be there. I think the management wants to give him what he wants. So I think it'll be quick and easy. It's just the number might be a little ridiculous. But I think he's like a Carey Price, dude. He's a franchise goalie. You want him to be there. So give him the fucking money and you'll still be good and you'll make the playoffs over and over again. But like you said, they're going to have to kind of either take some pay cuts or get rid of some guys, which
Kadri Miller, we're here. Come to the Blues. We'll take you. Yep.
That's the first player I thought of, is if they really need the pay Shesterkin and Keandre Miller is now worth $5 million a year, come on to St. Louis, papa.
I will give you 6.5. I will put us in a cap nightmare for you. That is fine.
I would.
You are the next step
of at least
a cornerstone defense.
Yeah. Him, Broberg, like, those are two defensive pair, or that's a defensive pair that you can
two young build guys off of. To run and go with youth coming still.
Yeah, true. That would and be awesome.
Big. He's big.
Yeah, DeAndre Miller's. I just love watching him play. So
I kind of want his jersey. you're gonna get me on a rant with this guy. I love him. He's great.
I love him too, dude. He's like my favorite defenseman in the league. I guess non-blue.
Yeah,
yeah. So we'll see with Shesterkin, and that's gonna be bonkers for sure next year. All right, let's move on to the regular season, baby. The games have started a little bit earlier than usual, which is pretty cool with us over in Prague. The Devils played the old Buffalo Sabres, and it was a bloodbath, I'd say. The Devils dominated them in those two games. Buffalo looks kind of rough already. Not a good look for them. Opinion on playing in Europe is awesome. I think it's great. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of hockey mecca over there too in some of the countries. So great move by the NHL. I love it. Prague's cool as fuck. Great looking city. A lot of the players on those two teams are, you know, European, which is even better. So they had a bunch of fans there. Great stuff overall with the setup. Into the games, talk a little bit about how they went down and what you think.
Yeah, so first matchup, I mean, a 4-1 win for the Devils. Buffalo, I think, played a decent game starting, but they just don't have the firepower nor the defense to put it all together. And I think this is going to be the common thing for the Sabres all year long. And, you know, you had some no-name, like, Nosen scores that first goal of the NHL season. Decent goal. Can't complain. They were decent games. Like, I think for me, you kind of had to figure New Jersey was going to take these. The only thing I thought, maybe Buffalo would put up a fight in their second game, and they didn't. They also lost that one 3-1. So, big thing that Mike and I were talking about, though, shout out to our former Blues Stanley Cup champion, Jake Allen, with a hell of a game, stopping 17 of 18 shots. So, still has it. Tage Thompson, former Blue, gets a goal. And I just don't think Buffalo is going to be it this year. There's a lot of young talent there, and it just proves that they're cursed. Buffalo's cursed. I don't know how to say it, but they're cursed.
I think they're cursed, too. It's the first two games of the year. You know, you never know what's going to happen. But usually Buffalo comes out hot. Like, the past 2 years, they came out real hot and then, boom, died off too late, which sucks. This year is, I think it's going to be a yikes. Like, a big, big yikes. I think there's too many question marks. And, but their core, like, is solid on paper. Solid, so we'll see. We'll see. If the ownership actually cared and built around the guys the correct way, they could be good and finally break their curse of making it. It's just not going to be this year. As for the Devils, you're looking at the guy that predicted them to make it to the fucking Stanley Cup final. This is two games into the regular season, and they don't even have their superstars scoring points. So let's just wait on New Jersey, man. They're going to be really good this year. They're gonna sneak by some teams. And I think they're going to have the biggest turnaround. Jake Allen is such a good backup, and they have Markstrom now.
Markstrom's a stud.
He's always in the question of Vezina Trophy winning. So good stuff from the Devils in the offseason. They're going to be really fucking good this year if they can stay fully healthy. Good first two games of the regular season for sure. I'm sure the fans over there loved them.
I was going to say, I think the crappy part, though, is like they weren't close. I think you'd almost want a closer two games in Prague.
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
That's what fans were. But I think the shout out before we move on to our next kind of topics here is, Sheldon Keefe has to have a load off his shoulders. Come out of the season, two wins, getting scoring from your depth players, which he was never able to put together in Toronto. Sheldon Keefe's a great coach, folks. Like, good, bad, or indifferent, it may not have worked in Toronto, but I think it's really going to work with the Devils. I think he has the less pressure, and it's going to be a good season. So, super excited for Sheldon Keefe, and we'll see what he does with this team. A lot of superstar talent there too in New Jersey. So
yeah,
can he manage the lower end guys, get more from them, and then keep your top end growing? And I think he can.
Yeah, I think New Jersey's kind of like the Blues in a way where they're more blue collar and the fans are just like us. So I think he's going to love it there even more than he would love Toronto. And we heard him kind of talking during the playoffs of last year on that Face-Off Amazon Prime special, which if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's amazing.
10 out of 10. Loved it.
If you listen in, it was only like a 20-second snippet where he was like telling the players what to do. This is what we need to do. This is how it's happening. And sometimes like people have theories that if they just listened to Keith, they would have won that series against Boston.
Yeah.
Which you never know, right? I think Keith is such a good coach and great pickup. Like I said, Devils made so many good off-season acquisitions. It's about staying healthy and being consistent, and they can make a fucking run.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to rapid fire the first 2 days of games. We're going to end with the Blues, even though they play on, they're literally the first game of the year. But we're going to end with the Blues. Let's start with the rematch, baby.
Hell yeah.
A playoff rematch of a bloodbath of a series, the Bruins at the Panthers. Tell me who you have scoring the first goal if it on either team, and tell me who you have winning.
Okay, so preface. So Mike and I are going to do a rundown each week, keeping a total of who has better predictions. We have a lot of matching ones, so it's going to be interesting to see when we start getting in the season who we're going with. So we will be putting out more with that here soon. Game one, Bruins-Panthers. I am taking the Panthers. I have them winning 2-1. It's going to be a very close game. First goal will most likely probably be scored by Boston, probably Marchand. But, you know what, actually going Barkov. Barkov puts up the first goal, taking the lead early in the first period for the Panthers, and they ride it out. Close game, win 2-1. Who do you got, Mike?
I have a close game as well. I think it goes to OT.
Oh,
so both teams get a point, unfortunately. But I think the Panthers edge them out. I agree with you on that part. As for the first goal, I am going to say Matty Tkachuk. Fuck it. St. Louis boy. He's going to come out hot as he always fucking does against every team. And he's going to do that shit. And then, honestly, let's pick him to score the OT winner, too. Why not? So, Panthers 3-2 in OT. Matty gets the first goal and the game-winning goal.
Yep.
Good shit.
It's a solid pick. I'm excited.
That's going to be such a good game.
Blackhawks at Utah. Who you got?
Speaking of not so good games, I'm kidding. I want to start by talking about how Pat Maroon looks awful in a Blackhawks jersey.
So bad.
It makes us so upset. Oh, man. I'm happy he gets to play with a guy like Bedard, though, so he'll have fun with it. Do you think he's going to even be there for long, you know? Because he's a quality playoff guy. He's got that secret sauce.
He's a deadline guy that they trade for a fourth round pick for a team that just needs someone that can chirp.
Like, yeah, 100%.
I mean, he probably won't have a great season. I think he is also brought in Chicago to be a protector to make 100%. Sure Bedard does not get touched. I think they really bolstered this lineup with some guys that will jump you if you touch Bedard. So we'll see if he gets the minutes, but figure he's going to be the best chirp guy in the NHL as always. So hate the Blackhawks jersey on him, but love the boy from St. Louis. So let's go, Patty.
Okay. I agree with you. I think he gets traded.
Yeah.
Eventually. For sure. Nashville. I don't know.
We'll I can't do that. I can't keep him going to our rivals. I'll lose it.
They don't even need him, though. It would be someone like LA. I don't know. We'll see. Another point I wanted to make, Tidge Iginla got sent down to the AHL. It's not his time. And he's not nearly as good as his dad, man. His dad was phenomenal. One of the best players I've ever seen play. But Tidge, he'll get his time. It's just not right now. and he'll probably light it up in the AHL and possibly get called up this year, on the roster next year, which is good. You know, like any player. Yeah.
I think we need guys to develop. I mean, yes, we love our superstars that can come in, but like, let guys grow.
Yeah.
Let them develop and have longer careers because they are progressing better. So
100%.
Props to Utah for not just being like, he's a Ginla, we got to play him. And like, he's a good player. I know he's going to be living under his dad's spotlight forever in the shadow, but Tej is a good player. He's going to be a good power forward. Look for a good season from him.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. The winner of this game between the Blackhawks in Utah for the first ever home game in their history.
Terrible arena.
It's really bad, but they're going to get renovations eventually. I have Utah winning. I think they're actually a pretty good team. Yeah. I think they might be wild card team this year with the Blues. I have them winning 5-3. I think it's just going to be a goal fest. I think they're going to come out hot. Bedard might score first. But on the Utah side, it's Clayton Keller. Another St. Louis boy. He scores first. He might score two. He might score three. He might score five. He's their guy, dude. And he's got the C on his chest now. And I think he's going to come out absolutely fired up. Yeah. Scores first. Utah wins.
I have Utah as well winning. I have it 3-2, though. I think it's going to take a second for this Utah team to kind of gel and get scoring a little bit. But I also have Clayton Keller scoring the first goal. Like, come on. Also, I'd like to preface, we do not talk about this before the game, which is even better. So,
no,
this is great.
Yes. That's so good. I mean, we can't help ourselves. He's from St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a fucking legend. So, okay, on to 10-9. There's a lot more games on 10-9.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start up there in Canada. We got the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Montreal Canadiens. First question for you, and then I'll have my point. How do you think Chief Craig Berube is going to affect this team's chances to make noise in the playoffs when they ultimately make it?
It's going to be a complete 180. I think that locker room needs someone that will butt heads right back with them. No offense, Sheldon Keefe. I love you. I think you're a great coach, but you're not one to look for confrontation. Berube will look for the confrontation and will finish the confrontation. So I think this next season, though, Nylander will flourish under Berube. And then Matthew Knives is going to be a stud. He is a Berube player through and through. I think we're going to have a Marner-Kyrou comparison here of issues, I think, with Berube. Just because I think they're a little different mentality. And I'm very interested to see how this defense shapes up. Berube likes gritty D. So he gets them to the playoffs. They're for sure getting past the first round. If they don't, you got to tear that down, that roster, and some guys got to go. But Berube's, I love him. I wish he was still here. I miss him dearly. But he's going to be great in Toronto.
I agree. I think he's going to be so good for them. I also agree that Mitch Marner might have an issue with it. After watching that Amazon docuseries, I have the most respect for William Nylander because I think he's a hard-nosed hockey player. You know, I think he's underappreciated as a two-way player. And yes, him and Berube are going to be best buds. And I hope that the other three or four of them at the forward position can kind of fall into place with that mentality. As for the defense, like you mentioned, they picked up Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Chris Tanev. Okay, you know, some solid defensive defensemen, puck-moving defensemen, yep, that could help.
If it's Yanni,
the goaltending that really makes me worried because I don't think Joseph Woll is the answer. And they have, I can't remember who they have backing up, but I just don't think the tandem is going to help them in the playoffs. But we'll see.
Hey, you know, could be a trade candidate for some goalies if they're getting moved. I think Toronto could use a goalie.
True.
Gibson would not be a bad guy up there. But
maybe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting play. And Yanni Hakapov, who they did sign, coming off a knee injury, has progressed better than they planned. He's like 6'7", shutdown D. Would be phenomenal if he can come back healthy for them as well.
Yeah. So honestly, they did kind of beef up the back end a little bit. I just think they're too old, man. But we'll see. Ours are. That's how our defense is. But we have better goaltending. To the game. Leafs at Canadiens. I have the Leafs. I think they come out hot as they always do. They're going to score a shitload of goals. And just the Canadiens aren't good enough to compete against a team like Toronto, even if it's the first game of the year where anybody can win. I have them winning 5-2. First goal scorer, I'm going to give it to Matthew Nyes. Why not? I think he gets a chippy goal. Start the game off.
I have them winning as well. 4-2 win. Matthews picks up right where he left off last year, putting up two goals right out of the gate. The man is going to put up 50-plus goals again this year. Super stoked. They dominate this game the whole game.
Yeah, we'll see if he can break 70. Yeah. I don't know. He's a freak. Okay. Next game on 10-9, we have the New York Rangers at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Tell me who's scoring first and tell me who you have winning.
All right. I have the Rangers winning. First goal is Zibanejad with a nice wrist shot from above the point. He puts up the first goal. He's still a stud. He's getting up there in age, but the man can still play. So give me Zibanejad winning this game. And I have the... it's going to be the closest one. I'm giving it a 2-1.
Okay.
Win. Yeah.
Okay. They're in Pittsburgh. Crosby just signed another 2-year, $8.7 million contract. I'm so happy for him. That doesn't mean shit, though. The Rangers are going to win this game. I think that they are just like they possibly the best team in the East, like in the regular season, at least. They were last year. They won the President's Trophy. I have the Rangers. I think they win a close game as well. I think it's going to be 2-1 as well, which is kind of funny. But as for the first goal scoring, I'm going to say Adam Fox from the point. Why not? Let's throw a defenseman in there.
Solid.
And you mentioned Zibanejad. I remember last year he literally had the first goal of the entire NHL regular season, and it was a fucking nasty one. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does it too. Rangers are just a better team. So we'll see.
Also, I think Amazon show, we're going to reference this show a lot. If you watch it, I have a new appreciation for Jacob Trouba after this. Like, really handled the pressure a lot more. And he realizes people are very frustrated with him. But, like, he takes it. He knows he's in a big market, and he just rolls with it. So, like, and then the very nice part, super family-oriented. Love to see that. It's really nice to kind of see that. It's a breath of fresh air for sure.
Yeah, he mentioned how it was going from Winnipeg to New York, and he was like, oh, it's kind of a little bit of a culture shock. And then he was like, he goes, I don't want to be anywhere else. I love it here. So I think New York fans appreciate Trouba for the captain he is, maybe not how much he produces, which is fine. You know, there's a lot of captains out there that don't produce. So we'll see. He just loves chucking elbows. Okay. Speaking of Winnipeg, we have Winnipeg at Edmonton. This game, usually these games are close. I do love the Oilers, man. I even though like Florida deserved a win last year, I kind of wish McDavid had won. They're going to be good again this year.
Yep.
Who do you got in this game? Jets at Oilers?
I have the Oilers winning 5-1. This is a statement game from that team coming off losing the cup. McDavid and Draisaitl play at a whole other level. McDavid puts up 3 points in this game, getting closer to the 1,000-point mark. But 5-1, I think the Oilers are going to be playing with anger. And yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks revolving the Jets, in my opinion. So, Oilers, they get it hands down. Great depth signings. I'm excited. It's going to be a goal fest, and I can't wait.
Yeah. I kind of have the same thought. I have the Oilers too. I have them winning 4-2. And I also think that McDavid gets at least 2 points. And we said it before, like a few episodes ago, that he was close to 1,000 points in it. And we said, we made the joke that he's going to get 15 points in 3 games. And honestly, it wouldn't be a fucking surprise. It would be more of a surprise if he didn't do it.
Yeah.
If he did like 20 points in 5 games. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, McDavid, 2 points. He makes a great pass to Zach Hyman for the first goal of the game, though, in my opinion. So he gets a goal and an assist, McDavid. Oilers win 4-2. They start their run fast. They're going to be so good in the regular season. It's just about getting past a couple people in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens there. Okay. Staying in Canada, we have Calgary Flames at the Vancouver Canucks. Tell me who you have scoring first. Tell me who you have winning.
All right, Vancouver wins this game. I'm going to say 3-0. They're going to shut out the Flames. JT Miller scores the first goal for Vancouver. But I think the Flames get shut out in this game. The Flames are going to be struggling all year long. Canucks are going to be rocking and rolling coming out of the gate as well. So 3-0, JT Miller with the goal.
Yeah, I have Vancouver too. We haven't disagreed on like any games, but it's just our opinion. Okay. Yeah, I have Canucks. Honestly, their offseason pickups were very underappreciated. You know, they lost Big Z, Zadorov, and then they get lost Lindholm too. And honestly, they got great pickups. They got Sprong and DeBrusk, so that's great. You know, they signed Dakota to an extension. That's huge. Their only question mark is the goaltending, but Archer Seelos has looked good in the preseason. You know, and Demko possibly is coming back, who's a Vesna caliber goalie. So if he can be, you know, 100%, that's great for them too. They're just way better than the Flames. The Flames are not good.
No.
I don't know. Like, a lot of people kind of think they're going to be okay, have a chance. I think they're going to be awful. I don't know why. I just don't think they have the pieces at all. And I don't think the management has a plan in place at all that has been voiced to the players and the staff. So I think there's just confusion. And I don't think they know what they're playing for besides, you know, of course, the Stanley Cup. But other than that, like, there really isn't a purpose there, in my opinion. So we'll see.
Trade deadline. Flames are tearing it down. It's a fire sale out of that team by the end of the year.
Okay. You heard it here first. Vancouver, I'll say 4-1. Quinn Hughes scores first. Okay. Now, this is finally one that we disagree on.
Yeah.
We have Colorado at Vegas, two teams we despise. Who do you have scoring first, and who do you have winning, my friend?
Okay, so preface here. Colorado wins this game, but they do it while coming back because Mark Stone scores the first goal of the year for Vegas. I have the Avalanche winning 3-2 in overtime. Mm. But Colorado is going to come out. I think it's a hard place to play at being in Vegas, but I hate Vegas, so it's the lesser of the evils here. So I will pick the Colorado Avalanche winning 3-2 overtime, first goal being scored by Mark Stone, winning goal being scored by Nathan McKinna.
I mean, you can't go wrong with any of that.
No.
I have Vegas winning. I think at home, first game of the year. They kind of were okay last year. They got their management as cutthroat as fuck. So I think everyone wants to play as best they can so they don't get shipped off. And Jack Eichel mentions that in that Amazon Prime show. He's like, yeah, the management here, they just cut it. You know, you aren't playing well, they're cutting your ass off. I was like, that's fucking dope. I hate Vegas too, but I think they're going to win this game. I think Colorado is still kind of emotional about Gabe Landeskog. I don't think he's going to play this game. I don't think they can handle Vegas's just pure presence at home. And I think Vegas wins 2-1. I do think I kind of have the opposite opinion. I have Nathan MacKinnon scoring first.
Okay.
And then I think Vegas comes back to score two goals, you know, throughout the game. I'm going to say winning goal from Vegas is Ivan Barbashev.
Okay. I like it.
I think he gets a nice pass from Eichel, buries it, game winner. Okay, that was like the first one we disagreed on.
I love it.
Okay, let's end with the Blues here. We're at about 45 minutes on the pod. That's huge. That's exactly where we needed to be. We're going to run through the starting lineup, at least what we think it's going to be. We're going to run through who got sent down, anybody who might get taken off waivers, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then we'll run through a couple more things that we have listed out for the Blues and the Kraken. Starting lineup, this is what I wrote out. Josh, I think you pretty much agree with me.
Yeah, I think it's very similar to what we think. Yeah.
We can talk through it. Okay, first line, Dylan Holloway, Robert Thomas, Jake Neighbors.
We'll see. It has to be that way.
I think so, too. I think Jakey proved he could be on the first line, and I don't think Kyrou should be alongside Thomas.
I think
since Bucci's playing center, then he's not going to be on the wing with Thomas, so it kind of just works out that way, you know? Yeah. Second line, I put Texier running out there with Bucci and Kyrou. So Texier is just one of those question marks. Saad is going to be out on maternity leave for his wife. He kind of slides up a little bit. There's just so many pieces that we could slide anywhere on this lineup.
Yeah.
But that's what I have right now for the second line. Third line, this was the best preseason line we had. They were buzzing. Like buzzing. Kasperi Kapanen, Braden Shedd, and Matthew Joseph. I love this line. I think they're so good. They were buzzing. Like,
yep.
Clearly the best line on the ice in the preseason when they played. And then fourth line, Walker, Fox, a Torpedo, which, of course, can be moved around with Saad coming back. So if Saad does come back, maybe Texier slides down, Kapanen gets pulled out of the lineup, or he gets thrown to the fourth line. Maybe Bolduc gets thrown in there instead of Kapanen. You know, there's so many question marks, dude. We have so many assets at forward that can fill in. I don't know what you think. Like, what are some lines that maybe you can throw out?
I think the thing here, Bolduc is on this roster to start the season. Bolduc will see time in one of the three games while they're on this road trip. Saad is back in the lineup for the opening home opener. I think that's where everyone's kind of leaning. So, looking at this, Cappy's playing for his life, and you can tell he's playing for his life because he's played some of the best preseason hockey in camp of his life. He for sure is on this roster because he can sit in the press box and no one's going to be upset about it if he has to. Texier probably moves down. This team is better with Shen at center. Shen is a proven center, third line. I feel great about that. The issue right now is Bucci playing center is going to drive his offensive ability down severely.
Mm-hmm.
So
100% agreed.
Putting Kyrou there, maybe that lets him flourish. He has to be held responsible. He has to put up goals.
Yes.
Texier is a freaking shot crazy man. He was averaging, I think, like 4 to 6 shots per game in the preseason. So please keep doing that. It'll work. And then Bucci can just pick up the trash and put it in. I think Fox, perfect fit on the fourth line. And I like Walker not having to play center. But if you're like looking at these lines, Thomas doesn't need really an extra center. Holloway has played center a little bit, so Thomas is good. Texier has played center, so you have two different options for taking faceoffs. Third line, Shen doesn't really need someone to switch in with him to take faceoffs. Cappy could take him if had to be. Walker actually is a pretty good faceoff taker playing with Foxa, so you got two centers on that line. I think the guys where you're questioning their center abilities, they kind of have some extra support, but it's going to be good. I think the D pairings are where we're fully agreeing on. I don't think there's any changes. I think the only question is, does Scotty make the roster? Does P.O. make the roster? Are we carrying two defensemen and one forward? I think that'll be very interesting to see. But D pairs, we have Parayko, Letty. I think that's how it starts the beginning of the year. Would not be surprised by the end of the year if Broberg is playing where Letty is. Falk and Broberg. Falk is healthy, finally. He played hurt all last year, from what I've read. He's skating. He's working with a puck-moving defenseman who has another long stick who can break up plays. And then sneaky pairing that I think will be very appreciated by Blues fans and very underappreciated by the masses of the NHL. Suter and Kessel are going to be phenomenal. I think this pairing, and I'm calling this right now, will have the least amount of goals given up while they're on the ice out of the three pairings this year. Because I think Suter brings stability. He's old as dirt, and that's fine. Stability, cross-check you, and Kessel is just going to soak everything up, and I am pumped.
I know. So, I think
you got any changes on D?
Nope, that's exactly how it's going to be for most of the year. I seriously think Suter might be the sneakiest, best pickup we had, besides the offer sheets. I think he's going to help Kessel out so well, and Kessel's going to be so ready to fill in like Falk's shoes and Letty's shoes and Parayko's shoes when they're gone. So,
yep.
Huge win there with Suter. Goalies, best in the Central, dude. Binnington and Hofer. You mentioned the extras, just filler in, man. I don't know. I don't like Scotty P personally. I think he's proven not an NHL player.
Yeah.
And I like Pio Joseph just because of his size.
I love him.
He is a little wonky, but we'll see. I think
he's like a baby giraffe.
Yeah, he might fill in if they really need him to, like if Suter needs a day off. But Scotty P can do that too. And Scotty P has like power play, you know, blue line potential, but I still think he's just not it.
I think we saw, though, that last preseason, and like the question marks were, are they going to have Broberg run in a point? I think Broberg can run a point, so Broberg's your second power play point man. Falk has done it before. Let him cook. He had a dirty, dirty slap shot that is a heat-seeking missile, so let him just run the first pair and then go from there.
But yeah.
Look to see Bolduc will play in one of these three games. I think that is the biggest thing. And then the writing was on the wall today as waivers did come out. Tyler Tucker, like we had talked about, getting sent down. I always worried that he'd be picked up, but if you're going to try to get someone through waivers, today's the day. You got to throw out the masses, and he'll clear waivers. I don't know what to expect from him. I think he's got to grow substantially to ever have a shot of making this team again.
Yeah, I don't think he's an NHL player just like Scotty P. That's just my opinion. Okay. Got the lineup kind of set. At least we know the defense and the goaltending. That's solid. Yep. Tell me a little bit about how you feel about Jessica Campbell over there in Seattle. I think it is the coolest thing.
Yeah. She
has so much experience already, and now she's a pioneer for the NHL for women, which is fucking awesome. So break it down for me. I know you got a lot to say about her.
Yeah, so really a fantastic hiring. I think they went about it the right way. They found the right person. I think she has the mentality to fit right into an NHL culture. So, player-wise, I mean, she played at Cornell. Then from there went to the Canadiens Women Hockey League. Captained the Canada under-20 team to a world championship team in 2010. Went to Sweden. There she transitioned to a skating coach. So, has been a coach before. During the pandemic, started training high-level players to prep them for the bubble. I mean, in British Columbia. She's a stud. Like, she then went over, I think she went over in Germany, she was coaching, and then she started to be on the first men's coaching staff in 2022 in the World Championships for Germany. So, I think the only concern I have is if something goes wrong and Seattle's not playing well, people suck and she'll be used as a scapegoat and they'll blame her. And I don't think that's the way it should go. And that's not the reason I think she was hired. The GM came to to the coaching staff and like, hey, would you be okay to this? And they were all like, never really thought about that. But yeah, this could work. Players seem to really enjoy her coaching. And I think she's going to be good. She knows her hockey knowledge. And that's the biggest thing. Like, end of the day, it's not someone that doesn't have a clue about hockey. She knows her shit. And she's going to be great. So very excited to see how this goes. I think this is a wonderful opening of a door to the NHL. And I think this will lead to a lot of new opportunities for people. What do you think, Mikey?
I agree. I think she's awesome. Like, you broke it down. She has experience playing and coaching. Yep. Let's not forget she coached with Dan Bylsma in Coachella in the AHL. So
yep.
They're like already buddy-buddy. I'm sure he's so happy for her. He has someone that trusts him and that she trusts. So honestly, the coaching staff's in a good spot in Seattle. I love it. I just wanted to say that she's won 5 medals on the international stage, including 2 golds.
Yeah, she's a winner.
She was a stud. She's a winner, and she was a stud. So great hiring in Seattle. Like we said, so many opportunities to come out of this. The door is now opened. So take advantage of it. I love it. Another question I had for you. What do you think the biggest difference between Bannister and Berube is? And tell me a little bit of positives and negatives, I guess, or whatever you have.
All right. Positive. I think he can relate to the younger player better than Berube did. I think he's more of a analytical and coach knowledge kind of coach. So I think you're getting the best of both worlds. Negative. Does not have the experience. Does not have the track record. Still a baby coach in the grand scheme of things. Can he put a full season together? I think he can, because I think he's surrounded himself with great mentors. I mean, you have Steve Ott and Claude Julien. Those two right there, he'll be fine. But I think the question mark is, how will he handle the adversity? He's developed a lot of great players, and he was a phenomenal minor leagues coach about growing talent. But when the going gets tough, are players going to turn to him? Are players going to respect him? Are players going to listen to him? That is going to be the biggest question mark for me. But he ran a great camp. He's a good guy. Like, there's not much to dislike about him, and you really want things to go well for him. I think that at the end of the day is my biggest thing, but I still love Chief the most. Like, Chief's going to be hard to ever top for me. And Chief and Ken Hitchcock are those like gritty, older style, just scream at you kind of coaches, but very knowledgeable. So what do you got, Mike? What are you thinking? What's your positives, negatives on Bannister? Do you think it's going to be a good fit?
I thought he was good fit last year. You know,
yeah.
He helped us fight for a playoff spot after starting so poorly. Unfortunately, we didn't get there, but we'll see this year. He's laid back. I think he's a lot more laid back.
He's here the whole time.
I don't think he's really pressuring anybody too much. You know, he did have a preseason interview earlier. It was, I think it was the game against Columbus after we had a really good game.
Yeah.
The game before. And he was just like, it's time to play. Like, we're close. Like, what are you guys doing? Pretty much. And I love seeing that too. So he does have a little bit of give and take on both sides of how to coach, which is awesome. So I think he will be gritty in a way, but not like Berube in your face, which is kind of hard for some of these younger players to deal with. I think he's going to be good. I don't know how long he stays. It just depends on how the team does. But I do like it. I think Doug Armstrong's smart. So I just trust whatever he thinks. Okay, let's get into the game. We're going to be in Seattle. It's a 3:30 central start. It's
terrible
just
time.
Weird. It's an afternoon game on the West Coast. Like, who's going to be at this game? It's so weird. People are going to take off work, obviously, but it's just so
weird.
As
you should.
Tell me who you think scores first. Tell me who do you think wins.
I think we're going to struggle out of the gate just a little bit to get our footing. I think this team is... there's a lot of new faces and a lot of chemistry that has to be developed. So, Blues win. I think it's 3-2. And very much thanks to Binner playing out of his mind. First goal, though, is I honestly think Jake Neighbors. I think Jake Neighbors gets a gritty goal in the front of the net. And it's going to probably be challenged because it's probably going to be challenged for goalie interference. But Jake Neighbors puts up the first goal. They win 3-2. It is down to the end. I'm going to go a little bit farther. Jake Neighbors' goal assisted by Kessel and Holloway. Yeah, we're just bold predictions right now. Just pulling that one out of my ass.
I love it. Why not? You know? Yeah. I love it. Okay, you have the Blues winning. And yeah. Of course I do too. I think they'll win the first game of the year. 3-1. Binnington has a fucking great game, as he always does. Keeps us in it. And one of those goals is an empty net. The first goal of the game, Dylan Holloway starts off his breakout season with a fucking rip ski coming down on the rush. I love it. I think he's going to have a great season. Let's start her off strong, big boy. But yeah, Blues 3-1. Binnington starts his Vezina caliber year off, and Holloway starts his breakout year off very strong.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else before we sign off?
I'm ready for hockey to get going. We'll put up a poll on our social medias about our different choices of the Avalanche Knights. Please go up there, pick who you think's going to win, and then we'll keep our tallies going. But the make or break game for Mike and this week is the Avalanche versus Golden Knights. But
yeah,
I love this, Mike. I always love doing this. I appreciate us being able to do this. We've been best friends for a long time, so love doing this. All right, folks, thank you for tuning in.
Yep.
And look forward to that midday podcast or midweek podcast that you might be getting. Just maybe.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out, brother.